a story to tell to the nations.
Okay, first of all, let's take care of some things, and then we'll get into a wonderful presentation this morning. I think everyone here knows how I feel about teaching the Word of God. It is the prime of our life. This is the purpose of the local church in the book of Acts, the study of the written scriptures. It's what the local church is about. Now, it's lost that in many cases, but that's what it's about. And but having said that, and having you know, I don't mind cutting into our study for what's about to happen. Because the whole reason for learning the truth is to let the world know about Jesus Christ. Let young people know. Young people are vital to the future to tomorrow, and they're not getting the truth in very many places. And I'm very thankful to God for Chris and Laura Day coming to our church, our assembly, and picking up this gauntlet. One of my hurts in my soul has been our desperately needing something in music. And God sent James Webb here. But something that has greatly been missing, that used to be very big in our assembly, is youthful outreach. And I can't tell you how many times I thank the Lord for for Chris and Laura Dagan. I know they would want me to add a lot of people. They'd want me to add the Wises, want me to add just so many different people. But he took up, they took up the gauntlet. And this is something needed and powerful. So I don't mind giving them this time this morning. And I hope you don't either. I hope you learn by it. And if nothing else, see that we're touching the lives of some young people with the truth of the gospel and the truth of this word. And that's what it's about. That's why we learn the truth, to be a witness of Christ in the world. So, Chris, I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Sorry. Are we on? Yeah. Okay. Last week was Slam Camp, and we've been prepping for Slam Camp since, well, we kind of took a reprieve this year, actually, after summer camp. I think we all got just wiped out. So we started planning the Slam Camp in January. And Slam Camp is a bit different than our youth camp. You know, everybody knows that we do a weekly youth group at our house and at the Wise house, and they have folks that share that, so it goes in different places.
Can you tell us what Slam?
Yes, getting right there. So on my way there, okay. So the youth group, the intention of the youth group is just the continuous studying and fellowship and part of just getting into the Word of God with these young people. And it's amazing to watch people step up. The kids stepping up to teach, the folks within our congregation stepping up to teach these young people and mentor them and work with them. And I'll just say this, you know, Herman says, hey, we picked up the gauntlet. I think every one of us would agree, all of the staff would agree, that we get as much, if not more, out of the ministry with the youth than they get out of it. It is so refreshing. It's so filling. The Holy Spirit just takes what we do there and just makes it as important and as valuable spiritually to us as it is to these kids. But it's amazing to watch what goes on. So the youth group is a weekly event that we have. It's our Bible study for the kids. We don't call it Bible study because they may not show up. So we call it youth group, and they all come, and we have a good time, and we eat, and we fellowship, and we laugh, and sometimes we play games. Sometimes they open the pool up, and they go swimming, and sometimes we just go out there. I mean, every week we go out there, and they play basketball for 15, 20, 30 minutes if they do it the entire. If we could hold youth group on our driveway playing basketball and do the Bible study, they would be all over it. So then what happened a number of years back before this, we started the summer camp, and that's great. And there's so much power in the summer camp of getting all these kids together and a lot of teaching and Grady coming in or Herman coming in or Phil coming in or different folks coming in and doing some teaching. And we spent a lot of time really fellowshipping and enjoying ourselves up at the summer camp. But what we felt was missing is, where's that leadership group? Where's that group where kids that are a little older than maybe some of the kids that are going to summer camp, that group where we need to build leadership to really get into some deep study, for lack of a better term, some time together to fellowship and work together as a group. And that's where we started Slam Camp. And this is our third Slam Camp. Servant leadership and missions. And so it's a leadership camp. It's a missions camp. Sometimes they slam together, pardon the pun, and sometimes they're, you know, just leadership sometimes, but it always ends up being a bit of everything. And so Slam Camp is where this is where we get our 7th graders through 12th graders together. And they plan the camp. They plan the weekend. This was the first time where we really stepped back and said, hey, guys, each group, you guys get together. We need an activity. We need a verse. We need a song, and go. And so we, as the staff, the parents, we do it in family groups. We sat back a lot this time and said, Holy Spirit, take these guys. They've been coming here. They've been doing this stuff. They've been involved. Put it together the way you want it, and let these young people put this thing together. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was the most, from my standpoint, summer camp is, I don't want to call it high stress because I shouldn't be stressing, but there is a touch of anxiety around managing all these kids up at the summer camp because you got 110 kids and 40 staff and they're running all different directions. You got to make sure they all show up at the end of the day. We do a head count. Hey, 9 out of 10, we got an A, move on to the next day, right? So, but the slam camp is amazing because it truly allows us to just step back and say, you guys do it. Where is the Spirit leading you guys? And so the first thing we did this weekend was on the way down, we all go in cars together and in a big group, and we met at CC's Pizza, and we ate there on the way, and we went to a new place this year. We had never been there. We had never gone to this facility. Nobody had ever been there before. So the day we showed up was the first time anybody had seen it. And here comes the whole crew moving in. But on the way down, we had put together a challenge for the kids. We knew we were going to stop. We knew we had some gas stops and other things. And we said, okay, our theme this particular weekend is about prayer. As you can see from, I got all dressed up. So, right, for the event, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Okay, and that's, let me make sure I got the verse right. It's on here too. All right, so it's Philippians 4:6. All right, if you're not sure, look at Phil's shirt. It looks very similar. Okay, and so the challenge was, hey, we're going to pray about everything, but let's really go out and attack the mission side of this as well. So the challenge was, on the way down, we want all of the kids, all of the adults, everybody who's going to slam camp, on the way down, you need to stop and meet somebody, talk to them, and ask them what we can pray for them. Whoa. Okay, so when these guys, they didn't know this was coming, they opened it up in the car, and we had some of them that literally were wanting to get out while we were moving about 60 miles an hour. Right? They're like, you want us to do what? And so it was just amazing that from the time we got in the cars and started heading down, all the planning's done, everybody's excited, everybody's getting ready, we're executing, this is going to be great, we're going to have a good time, all the activities are planned, all the music is planned, all this kind of good stuff. And then we throw this at them as the missions part of this, and we stopped at Walmart on the way down. There's a Walmart right behind the CC, so we had a few minutes before everybody was going to show up. So we started going, we walked into Walmart, we're all wearing our T-shirts, and we said, okay, kids, pair up, buddy up, and go. And we had a lot of kids that weren't sure about this whole thing. And then we had some of them that I was concerned that they were going to meet everybody in Walmart. And that would have been awesome, but I don't know they had a big enough notepad. So they take off in groups, and they're gone. Lori and I were watching the front doors to make sure that nobody took them out, right? So we know they're all inside Walmart, and they had 15 minutes, and we had kids that were terrified of what was going to happen coming back with this huge smile on their face. They were so excited. They're like, I met this person. And we had people who were saying, I you don't need to pray for me, but my brother-in-law they lost their home. And these people just opened up to these kids running around. And they told them some really personal stuff. They gave them their name. And there was one lady who said, hey, can I just tell you my name? I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's personal. Absolutely. Wrote it down. Private conversation. God knows. And there were kids that, and Ben, I know you were one of these that were like, I'm not sure about this whole deal. Right? And how excited were you coming back saying, I got somebody's name and we're going to pray for them. And as a group, you guys, there were three of them and you guys came back with four names. Right? Something like that. Yeah, there's three kids, and they came back. They went way over and beyond. They just kept... Now, we had some people that weren't sure about the whole deal, and they kind of stepped back. But by the time we got all said and done, we're sitting in CC's, and Lori and I were sitting together, and we had staff all over the place because we took over the place. And but I'm watching these kids literally just walk over and sit down at a family's table and start talking to them. And these people were just opening up. And we were having such an amazing time. I think there were several people in there that that got talked to 12 or 15 times. But I can tell you that the manager of CC's has probably never had so many people pray for CC's in his life. It was awesome. And so we get down to slam camp. And I'm going to accelerate this. I'm not going to give you the play-by-play. But this was powerful. And this was amazing. So we wrote all these names down when we got into to the camp. We walk in. This place is awesome. It's perfect. God set it aside and said, hey, this is where you need to be this weekend. The facilities were amazing. We were isolated. There were some other groups on the camp, but we were pretty isolated from everybody. The dorm that we were in was great. We could isolate the snorers in one room and the non-snorers in another. It was awesome. But we got down there and we wrote, the first thing we did, we had a couple of get to know each other, icebreakers, loosen up a little bit, but the first thing we did was we wrote every single person's name down that we had met on the board. And we went around as a group in a big circle and we prayed for them. And we said, hey, we asked these people if we could pray for them. They said, yes, darn it, we're praying for them. And so we started praying for them. And Phil came in and was doing, I mean, he did the intro and it was his teaching. He was led by the Spirit, there's no doubt. And I know he doesn't like me to say how amazing his teaching was, but the Spirit was amazing working through Phil this weekend. It was incredible. The prayer, prayer preparation, prayer, and then prayer pursuit. But we prayed. And man, I don't think these kids, I know I haven't done that much praying in a weekend in a long time, but we prayed all the time. And the whole weekend was all about prayer, and it was fabulous. And we'll show a slideshow here in a second, but I just wanted to let you all know that the power of prayer, we don't know what happened, and this was one of the most powerful parts, and Phil was actually teaching on this, is faith is also praying for somebody and never knowing the results. You know? It's part of it. But the preparation for prayer and going around the room and talking about all these kids, and then the prayer itself, and then getting into prayer pursuit. Man, there were so many things, and I know, Herman, that you did this study not too long ago, 2000, 2001, something like that. That's not very long ago for most of them. But Phil brought so many, the Holy Spirit brought so many things to light through Phil for these kids, and the way it was presented and the information that was presented, it was awesome. That's all I can say about that. The whole weekend was great. The kids were fabulous. We had lots of fun. We did lots of really cool stuff. Everything from, you'll see pictures of it, from rolling things around with your nose to you know, hitting each other with a big giant ball to tug of wars. And we had a sword fight. The Bryants aren't here right now, but they brought it. Each one of the groups brought an activity, and they had the sword fights with pool noodles. You guys know a pool noodles, those big long noodle things or styrofoam. Yeah, you get some of those big boys start swinging those, man, you can get hurt. But we had no major injuries, thankfully. We did a lot of prayer about that too. We had a couple of bloody noses, but hey, you know, if there's no blood, then what's the point? So all you on the internet, that's a joke. What I'd like to do is we'll show about this is about 15 minutes of video. We're not going to show all 15 minutes. I'm going to ask Rick to take it down to kind of slide through it. So it'll be a little choppy, and then we'll talk a little bit more, and I'll have these guys talk about it. Some things that are going on here as we go through. So this was us showing up. This was the new dorm that we'd never been to. This was our first activity of trying to get the kids to kind of break down the barriers. They all had to put the kids and the adults, sorry. So they had to put their heads on somebody else's stomach and link the whole thing like dominoes. And then once one kid starts laughing, you can't stop laughing. The whole place just ripples with. This is the list of people we prayed for. This was the prayer. Actually, I'm sure this was something like that. We had kids from all over the place. A lot of them from Plano. Some of them from Wiley. We had kids coming in from Keller. I think you'll notice that as we go through this, there's lots of smiles. This was the ball we whacked each other with. You'll see some familiar faces, maybe some new ones, hopefully. Here is our egg race. You had to push the egg with your nose. And then you had to touch noses when you hand it off. We break down barriers in a hurry when you have to touch noses with somebody, you know? This is one of our college students that came back. This is Cameron DeLand. You guys probably recognize him. That's Cameron Degg on the right. Is that Titan? What happens when you push an egg with your nose too hard? That was her second of five bloody noses that weekend. If she sneezes, she bleeds. DeAndre is a young man that's been coming to our youth group for about a year now. We met him at the VBS that we did over at the apartments. He's brought two of his buddies to our youth group that come every week now. And it's really cool. Anna came from TCU. She's one of the college grads that we've been praying for and have up on our board. Okay, well, I'll have to tell you the story about the pink socks, but breaking down barriers. Can't have a good camp without broken eggs. This is Joe. Come on, came in from Arkansas. Be in prayer for this young man. He's getting ready to go into the Air Force para rescue team, which is Air Force Special Forces. This is a really pretty pond down there. We lost a few things into the pond. This young man, Philip, wants to go into the ministry. He's decided that he is going to be a pastor. That's Sophia without a bloody nose. She got the most amazing smile. Lights up the room. Thank you. So it's church camp, but serious competition. Amanda came back. You guys remember Amanda? She came from from Oklahoma. She's one of our college grads. No swimming allowed. And everybody knows Miss McKenzie. She lights up the room too. This is the crew. Our tradition is that every Saturday night of Slam Camp, we have a big dance. And the college students got to put it all together this year. And they had neon black lights and all this kind of stuff. And Rick had the spinner thing going, the lights and laser show. And, man, they had a ball. They just had a great time. And every good party has to have Twister, right? Flip over to that song. So there's lots of pictures of activities, which is awesome. We don't take a lot of pictures during Bible study. We don't take a lot of pictures during prayer time because we're all involved in it. And so hopefully we don't get to give the wrong impression that it's all about activities, because it's not. Although they are amazingly important to get the kids to really just open up. Just like I said, the teaching was amazing. The Holy Spirit was with us the whole weekend. Everybody was kept safe, bloody nose. But just watching him work through all those kids, through Phil and the teaching and the leaders that were there, it was the most laid-back weekend, but with the most powerful, amazing things going on in these kids' life. So what I'd like to do is, actually, McKenzie, would you like to, do you want to say anything? I'm offering, not requiring. Did you want to add anything? You're good? Ben? You want to add anything? No, okay. Just checking. Lori? Larry? Lori?
I got to tell you, it was such a tremendous blessing this weekend. I get choked up just thinking about it. It was like if I said, okay, everybody, go out and get some wood and come back here. And some of you went and got sticks, and some of you went and got logs, and some of you got piles of leaves, and we threw it all together. And from these little efforts all over, a great big fire erupted. And that's pretty much what happened for Slam Camp. These guys did some tremendous preparation for three different meetings. It was, you know, they went and got their own verses. They came up, you see the funny pictures of the activities, but every one of those activities, they had a verse, they had a concept that they brought to the table that went with that. Sometimes the connection was a little weak, but still they got the connection in there with a verse and that crazy activity that was going on. And what was so amazing is they did all, you know, five groups working independently on three different occasions here. I did my Bible study in preparation independent of all of them, and you would not believe how that all came together. You know, you can't say it was me, because it was really a tremendous fire that got lit that weekend. And I think that the kids, even though these three or four that were there haven't got a lot to say about it today, I think they did get something out of it. And it's you know, hard to talk about that kind of thing when you're a young person in front of a big group of adults. But you know, I learned an important lesson when I got to go to Russia as a missionary. I remember when in the 80s when the Soviet Union broke up and people got to go to as a missionary to Russia, and they worked a lot with young people, and they came back and gave reports. They said, man, those kids were just wanted to hear the word of God. We sat them down, we taught them Bible doctrine for 3 hours, and they just sat there. And about 8 to 10 years later, I got to go over and I met some of those young adults now that had been those kids, and I asked them about those first Americans that came over, and they said, those guys sat us down and talked to us for 3 hours. they were still horrified over the experience, you know. And so we had some great Bible study time together. We emphasized, even though we looked at the types of prayer, thanksgiving and intercession and petition and all those technical theological terms. We talked about prayer preparation and prayer pursuit. And then we turned to the Word of God, and we looked at, we started in Chronicles at the story of Jehoshaphat in the Valley of Baraka, and which is a great story in about one chapter. And I would like to tell you about my brilliance in teaching this chapter, but I broke that thing up, and they all looked at it individually, and they taught me some stuff about it. They just had those concepts of types of prayer and parts of prayer, and I asked them to look for those. And we related prayer to our relationship with the Father. It's communication with God. And what's the purpose of prayer? One guy, come on. Purpose of prayer? Huh? Yeah, it's our communication with God. It's the relationship with God. And what's it going to do? What's prayer going to do? Glorify God. That's right. The glorification of God is the point of the whole thing. And they went and read that story. I had allotted, you know, okay, I'm going to give them 10 minutes to read through the story quickly, and then I'll explain it to them. No, they had their nose in the Word of God, and they were discussing it, and they were thinking about it, and then they came back and told me stuff about it. It was phenomenal. We did the same thing with the Lord's Prayer in John 17, and they saw that relationship and the building of that relationship, and they saw the communication and how the Lord did it that way, and how we're supposed to do it that way, and the ministry of our life is the ministry that we're talking about. When we say SLAM, servant leadership and ministry, we aren't talking about be a servant leader and get ready for your ministry. We're talking about having your ministry in your life right now. And guys, this is a group of people. We represent at least five or six schools in the Plano and Wiley area. Those kids that we had in Slam Camp this week, they've gone back to at least six or seven different churches. And they took back with them relying on God in faith. They took back with them building their relationship with God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is got them out there gathering sticks. And there's a fire coming. there's a fire coming. I have such confidence that God is going to do so much with this ministry and with our church through this ministry that just be patient and keep supporting it and looking to it, because it's not going to be just a young people's ministry before too long. I guarantee you. And speaking of which, and communion. Our tradition on communion is it's communion just like we always have communion. But I have them to, and this is some particular inspiration 3 years ago. When we do the bread, we have each one of us serve the bread to another, and that's symbolic of how we got the gospel. Somebody that loved us gave us the gospel. And we serve each other the bread, and we take the bread together. But when it comes to the cup, the new deal in Christ, the new covenant is going to the Holy Spirit and in that same faith relationship to live your life and to glorify God. But nobody can give that to you. So it's our tradition when we do this at camp is they have to get up and come to the table and pick up that cup themselves. And it's symbolic of, are they going to ask for the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in their life? And are they going to keep coming back for that faith relationship? It's just it communicates very well to the young people. I've never seen anybody refuse to come and get that cup. Of course, peer pressure, I'm sure, gets a couple of them. But I think it really brings it home to them and helps them to understand that the communion with God is a full-time thing. This is just something we do to remind us that we're in full-time communication with God and have a full-time relationship with God. So it's going to be it's a great experience. I think the whole camp was I hope the kids got as much out of it as we did, because we all enjoyed it. The staff was just blown away by watching God work, and it was a tremendous thing. Speaking of tremendous things, it's time for the Liberty Youth Group Flower Cell again. Now, Pat and I went to three different places and looked at prices on flowers and looked at what was available out there. And not only is this $2 to $6 under a price per flat you're going to find at Lowe's, Home Depot, or Callaway's, it's a better selection than you're going to find in any one place. We had to go to three different places to get all of the flowers on this list
that you get in one easy shopping place.
Okay? We have them in the back, flyers like this. On the back is the order form. Please put your name and address on the front and write how many flats you want of each kind. There are some examples of them back there. If you don't want to do the math, we'll total it up for you. Don't worry. You can pay for them now, or you pay for them at pickup. You'll pick them up at our house on April 19th, Saturday between 9 and noon, except for the few of you that always manage to come around 4 o'clock, but that's okay. So no problem. There's the flower sale. If you have any questions about that, Patricia will handle any orders in-house, and the Dags are going to be selling them, and the Wises are going to be selling them out. If you've got other people you'd like to sell them, take some flyers with you, okay? Yeah, we'll email them out to them as well. Yeah. Yeah. So, no more orders after the 15th. Pickups on the 19th. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's two big bills I've got that weekend. Okay. All right. Any questions about flower sale? Any questions about camp? Can we get on with Bible class this morning? Yeah. Yes, sir.
So what I'd like to, if you'll indulge me, just a couple more minutes. What I'd like to do is, one of the songs that the kids put together, they didn't put it together, they got it to Rick to put together, but they submitted it. This song, it's not a traditional hymn out of our hymnal, but it's a very powerful song that was really kind of congealed the whole weekend. I'd like to play this and have you guys sing along. We'll have the words up there. And if you're not wanting to sing along, just listen to the words and read along, because this is some really, really cool song. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for just being a part of this ministry and allowing our church to be involved in what you have put together. Father, we thank you for the support of all these people in the congregation, of all the families that support this youth ministry that are in other congregations. We thank you and praise you for the unity that comes together because of this ministry. Father, we just ask that you put your arms around all of these young people as they go out into the world and face the evil one and face their own challenges within their own flesh. And Father, we just ask that you continue to allow us to be a part, a little part,
of what you have in store for all of this. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the Word of God that's taught so faithfully. Father, we thank you for all of these things. In Christ's name, amen.
Chris, Phil, thank you very much. That was just absolutely super. People be in prayer for these young people. It's just like church. This isn't going to carry you. You have to take what you learn, live it. Live it in the power of the Spirit, and that's what is the great issue. So please be in continual prayer for all these young people. Do you know their names? No. He does. That's what's important. So please be in prayer and for them. And now, let's see, Chris already leave? Okay. I understand that at some place they lined up to give you all the prayer requests at the Walmart thing. So was, one of the kids was telling me that they actually stood in line.
There were people waiting to give a prayer request.
Yeah. Wow.
And yeah, that exercise, it doesn't tell us anything else. It tells us our nation is hungry
for the truth. Yeah, with God.
They want the renewal of life.
That's beautiful. I love that. Yes. Okay. Well, we'll all be in prayer for her. My goodness, beautiful. Okay, before offering, we've watched for almost 3 years now God working a miracle in young Thomas. The fact that he's just with us is a miracle. But this last weekend, he was able to make a trip to New York. Thomas, come tell us a little bit about it. I know. He's not really my friend anymore.
So, at first I wasn't supposed to be able to go on this trip because we couldn't do the, like, take the risk of putting down the money for it and then, like, having to go to surgery. But, like, a couple weeks before we were supposed to go, there happened to be a spot came open because one of the kids had to drop out and couldn't go. So I was able to take that spot. So that was pretty cool, just getting the chance to go. And then, sadly, it was on the Slam Camp weekend, but kind of missed being there. But this was something, like, this trip, because we got invited to go play in Carnegie Hall. And it was, like, an invitation. There wasn't, like, a lot of bands. We were the only band that was playing that day. On Tuesday, and there was like one for like that. There's just that weekend, and there's just one each day, so it's pretty special invitation to be able to do this. Anyways, but like the first day, we kind of just got to do like lots of touristy stuff, like go around Times Square, and we saw the Lion King, and just cool stuff like that. Went to Chinatown and Little Italy. It was really fun, and it was cool because I got to walk around and my knees weren't like hurting or anything, so that was nice. But then like the best day was Tuesday. We all got up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, because that was the worst part, was lack of sleep the whole trip. it was tiring. And then but yeah, on Tuesday that was when we were supposed to go to play Carnegie Hall, so everybody got up early and we're there at 8 o'clock in the morning. But it was just it was really stressful because I wasn't totally sure how everything was like going down. Like the plan wasn't set. It was kind of go with the flow for like the whole band. The directors didn't really know what the whole plan was either, so that was a little stressful, but it was totally worth it because when you got in, it's just like, it was amazing just how big, like it wasn't really that big of a state, like a performance hall when you think of like compared to like an American Airlines Center or something like that, but it's just like the history behind it and knowing that there's been like the most famous composers and instrumentalists and people in the world have played here, just sat in the audience to watch and stuff, and so that was cool. But like being on the stage for somewhere like that was, it was like awe-inspiring, I guess, because it was pretty great. And then just how amazing like it was in there, like the acoustics were nothing like I've ever heard before. Like you could, I was sitting in the very back of the ground level, and you could hear like a page turn. Like you'd hear rustling pages like that, like you were standing right next to it, even though you're in the back of it. So it was pretty cool doing that and just getting to be there. And then like you're walking down the hallways and they have it lined with like pieces of music, like hand notes from composers and stuff that have played there and like signed them. And they had one from like Beethoven on the wall, like his handwritten notes and compositions. So that was pretty cool, just seeing stuff like that. So it was a pretty fun trip overall.
Good. Thank you very much. They didn't say thank you, you bum. Okay, prayer, yes.
Can I have a short advertisement?
Yeah.
My son's wedding was last week, and he sent me a two small video on Facebook. So if anybody has
good, okay. That was last week they got married? Last week? Yeah, alright, okay. Okay, is that why that and Hazel went there? Okay, alright. Okay, any prayer requests that we need to add to what we've been doing? Yes, Gigi. Okay. Did you get that, Leslie? What was the name?
Kelly and Larry Nelson.
Thank you. There you go. Got to get it out there. Yes, sir.
Jennifer has a job interview tomorrow. So it's a pretty big deal. Pretty excited about it.
How many different jobs do you get a year? That's tomorrow? Jennifer will be in prayer. Very good. As long as it's not out of town. Not in New York or Tennessee or somewhere. All right, okay. We're not going to do that. Yes?
Two prayer requests. The first one is for the Fullerton family. Their son was in Plainway's band last year. He graduated, and he lost his battle. He had a first son. 19-year-old boy. And then another family is my old friend, Lisa Bracken, her husband and family. Her mom lost her 7-year battle with cancer.
Good. We'll support them with prayer. Any other prayer? Yes. Yeah, next Sunday, first Sunday of April. Well, it's already April, and next Sunday is communion. So please remember that, and then we'll have fellowship afterwards. So whatever you got left over from Saturday night, bring it on in Sunday morning. Yes, sir. God, that's powerful. Dennis is really happy. I hope the Lord's plan for him to be around a while. He's just got his grandson, his first grandson, so and my great grandson, and so hope to do it. Any other prayer requests we need to be aware of? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Giving unto the Lord requires two things, I think. One, be a believer in Jesus Christ, and two, know how to be filled with the Spirit and be led of the Spirit in regard to giving. Paul said, if I give all that I own to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, which is a fruit of the filling of the Spirit, it profiteth nothing. So let's spend a moment in prayer, and then we'll have offertory. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We stand amazed at the wonderful opportunities that you give us on the internet to reach we don't know how many and who, to the young people, giving them the truth, and then, Heavenly Father, some understanding of your word, missionaries. There's so many ways that you give us this opportunity. And then, Heavenly Father, right here in our own home with our singing and the teaching of your word. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. I'm sure you all noticed, but us who are hard of seeing, that was really cool how big the screen was. That was really cool. James Webb did that, and he did it with some protest and for me, and but he worked through it, and so figured out how to do that. So we appreciate that. We can all see a little better. I mean, you know, I had my idea of a TV in my house, it'd be 90 inches or something, but this was good. Okay, first of all, does everyone have, just for a list a little bit of time in the Word of God, the Daniel 11, 1 through 4. Okay, I don't think we get to verse 4 this morning anyway, but let's at least get a little started in the study of Daniel. People, there's just so much in the book of Daniel that we need to grasp and understand. And let's begin with a word of prayer before we go into the Word of God. Remember, studying His Word is the most dangerous thing you'll do in your life. You can see it in so many different ways, from the flesh and from false understandings. We are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to correctly understand what is said in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, please keep us mindful of what we're studying. It's your word. It will be in existence for all eternity. It's written for our edification. It's written for our hope. It is written for our assurance. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Has anyone read Daniel 11? Good. You know that it's heavy with information and facts. It says he, it, they, what. And but please remember, this is the Word of God. Daniel chapter 11, verses 2 through 35 covers a period of history from Darius the Mede, right after the fall of Babylon, 539 B.C., all the way to Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth. Now, Antiochus the Fourth is a horrible, horrible individual. He is a type of the Antichrist in the tribulation, is the reason he is in the Word of God. This is all revealed to the Jews 200 years before it happens. We'll take a look at why it's revealed as we go through this study. Antiochus, Antiochus IV is a type of the Antichrist in the tribulation, which is one of the reasons it's in here. 539, which is the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire, to 164 B.C., covered in verses 1 through 35. Now, that's why this has to be challenged by the liberals. Written in 539, things that are going to be in the 2nd century B.C. cannot happen. God cannot prophesy and know the future, especially to the details that we're involved in. Now, Daniel 11:2, "And now I, Gabriel, will tell you the truth." This refers to the content of the writing of truth in Daniel 10:21. Now, before we move on to the historical development, I know some of you love history. I know some of you vomit history. You just don't like it. But people, this is the Word of God. I'll try to go through it quickly, make the flow go of what God is telling us, fill in all of the personal pronouns. But this is vital. This is the Word of God. Remember that. But before we go to that, let's take a look at what we learned about angels. And James is giving to us in a form here of verses, chapter Daniel 11, 1 and 2. Now, first of all, angels are real. Now, we all know that. Two, angels have volition as to their actions. I've never been taught that. But Gabriel says, "I took my stand." That's a decision that he made. Now, they don't have decisions to change their eternal state as elect, but they do have to make decisions in their life. And then three, I was never taught this. Angels fight with one another. Saved angels fight fallen angels. I don't know how they fight. I don't know if they bang wings or what they do, but they fight one another. And that's revealed in Daniel 10 and Daniel 11:1. And four, angels are fighting over mankind, over you and I. Right now, today, there are angels fighting in heaven. There's angels who are guarding America. There are angels who want to bring America down. We know that from the study of the princes of Persia. Point five is something else I've never been taught. Right out of Scripture. Angels encourage one another. That's amazing. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. That an angel would need to be encouraged by another angel. That just boggled my mind. I mean, I've been through a Bible teacher in Houston, seminary, Schaefer's Theological Theology, Systematic Theology, taught by teachers, all these things. I was never taught angels encourage one another. We spent hours on that they have names and all these other things, but never that they encouraged one another. And then point six, angels protect one another. Protect one another. Now, a lot of you were not able to be here last week because of slam, but what that means is if you're fighting in a battle and you're fighting the enemy, you're concentrating on the enemy. But if you see a fellow comrade in trouble and you go over to protect him from a sword coming down on him or a spear going into him, and you come over and protect him, you're concentrating on that person. Here you're concentrating on the enemy. Here you're concentrating on a fellow comrade. And then we spend time on going back and showing how in the church age we are to encourage one another, strengthen one another, protect one another. Look at verses that actually tell us, this is what we're doing. We're not to shoot down one another. We're not to judge one another. We're to encourage one another, build up one another, protect one another, strengthen one another. So we learn from the angels. And then seven angels deliver the word of God to man. Also, we learn this from the book of Revelation. Okay, so let's get to where we are. Daniel 11:1. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I, Gabriel, took my stand. There's his choice. Took my stand, a deliberate volitional stand in combat, to be an encouragement and protection for him, Michael. Now, Michael is fighting against the princes, the demons over Persia. To keep Daniel, they're fighting to keep Daniel from getting the word, the message, the vision. So here is Michael coming in and fighting them so that they will not stop Daniel from getting the message. People, angels do not want you to learn the word of God. I'm sorry. They do not want you to. We have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil has his crew, has his army. They're angels. Now, sometime you might not come to Bible class. Don't blame God. Don't blame angels. Blame yourself. You just didn't want to come. But other times it could be intervention by angels. And, as we saw in our 9:15 study, it can be God Himself who brings calamity into your life to pull the chain in to get your attention back to what's important. Michael is the great prince who stands guard over Israel throughout all its... Yes. 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 Hierarchy. Now, I didn't go over that because that wasn't really brought out in this. But yeah, there are six wings, three wings, and two wings in the Bible. Okay. Throughout the history of Israel, right up to this day, now it makes me kind of wonder where he was during the Holocaust. But he is the angel that is the permanent guard over Israel. Okay. How do we know that? Daniel 12:1. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people. And then the rest of the verse tells, but what I want you to see is, he is the angel in charge of Israel. The time frame of chapter 11, verses 2 through 35, covered from Darius the Mede to Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, who we will see the reason for God revealing this, all this information we're going to be looking at. Why did God reveal it to the Jews? We're going to be taking that up. And what he's doing. 539 B.C. to 164 B.C. People, this is not just history class in high school or college. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Don't think of it as boring history. This is God functioning in history. This is God telling what is going to happen in history. Verse 2, and now I, Gabriel, will tell you the truth, the vision. This was a reference to the content of the writings of truth in 10:21. Behold, three more kings are going to arise in Persia. Okay, let's get started. Cambyses and Cyrus expanded the Medo-Persian Empire to its maximum. Cambyses, the first military endeavor, was to invade and conquer Egypt. He ruled over Persia from 529 to 522 B.C. Over a period of 35 years, Cyrus and Cambyses created the largest empire the world had ever known, an empire that stretched all the way from the Aegean Sea to the Indus, an empire that ever since acted as a vehicle for exchanging the Western European thought and goods and Oriental thought and goods. The Media-Persia Empire was the meeting ground for all of these coming together. Cambyses was the first of the three kings prophesied in Daniel 11:2. In 522 B.C., a usurper claimed to be Cambyses' brother, Bardiah, whom Cambyses had secretly assassinated. We're going to see a lot of inter-family murdering going on in all of this. You're going to see some mothers kill their sons. You're going to see a lot of stuff See that in the Bible. Okay. Now, this imposter, see, he secretly killed his brother, so this imposter took up that name and seized it and was known for, also known as Smertus. I gave you that information in case some of you want to check this out on Google. And I'm sure that a lot of you are going to run home and spend this afternoon checking out Cambyses and Smertus. Okay. This impostor seized the throne with full backing of the Magi, Zoroastrian priest. In the midst of his coup, Cambyses was also mysteriously murdered. Okay. In other words, they don't know how it happened. Now, after the death of Cambyses, there was all sorts of political intrigue. So I'm not going to bore you with a lot of that. There was a man named Pseudo-Smertus. You can look him up on Google and read a lot of intrigue with him. He ruled just 7 months. Not a whole lot of reading. 7 months. By the way, he got his name because he posed as someone else. First king that is talked about is Cambyses. The second king is Pseudo-Smertus. And the third king is Darius Hastepis. Okay. Now, Darius Hastepis ruled from 521 to 486 B.C. He was a powerful leader, instituting many programs and building greatness, but he was never able to bring up the kingdom to the point where Cyrus the Great and Cambyses had it. He was a legal genius, and he reorganized the legal system in a good way. He standardized coins and weights and measures, built up a dynamic economic system based on the trade system. A lot of our people today in America, politics, ought to just study. They don't need to study, if they don't want to study the ideal of capitalism, just study people who did deal with trade and commerce. So what happened if he was all this great? Well, like a lot of leaders, he shaved the coinage. In other words, he made it not pure as it was supposed to be, which of course produces inflation, which caused him to have to interfere with government control to control the inflation. That's how government gets its power. Something horrible happens that they cause, and they gain more power. All right. One of the great building programs was the building of the great city of Susa, where he moved to his palace. That's important in history. As to his expansion, he made gains in Egypt. Now, what I want you to understand, what we're going to be seeing through this, and I hope that all of you will read chapter 11, 1 through 35, but what I want you to be sure you're noting is bringing the kingdoms down to Greece. All that happened in the Word of God to bring Greece, Alexander the Great, into power. This book that you hold in your lap, the Koine or Common Greek, is Alexander Greek. I'll tell you next week why. How he did that. But bringing him into power, and then the setting up of the four divisions of his empire, and that will bring us to the Seleucids, who are the enemy of Israel. And we're going to see why. Why did they become so vicious against Israel? It's a very intriguing study. So we'll study history in that respect next week. As to his expansion, he made gains in Egypt. He thought the Greeks were perverted. Sorry, Kit. Don't tell Julie I said that, because it isn't me. This is him. He thought the Greeks were perverted and moved into colonies on the Aegean Sea. In 490, he sent a military force against Athens. Uh-oh! Now we're going to move. This is 490. We come down to the birth of Alexander in 300s. It's because of what you're reading right here that Alexander built an army and moved against Persia. Look what he did. He sent a military force against Athens. The Athenians met him at Marathon, where they defeated the forces of Darius. Now, he was angry about the defeat. He was building up a massive return, but he died first, leaving his major assault against Greece to his son, Xerxes. That is the Xerxes of the book of Esther. But next week I'm going to show you what's going on in Israel while these things are going on in the Gentile nations. Because you don't want to forget that. And Esther is dancing for the king Xerxes, and he's going to do a lot of history. Well, all of these names are in the Bible for a reason. And that reason is how God is setting up these nations, setting up for the Greeks to come against Persia, Alexander the Great. Okay, he dies, leaving his part to Xerxes. Who's that military going to have to encounter? Philip, father of Alexander. Therefore, Alexander is going to hold the same hatred. So this brings us to 486 B.C., and I think we've done enough today. So we'll stop here, and yes? Between angel? Okay, there are no human angels, but angels and humans I will. Thank you. I'll do that. I love those kind of questions. I'm looking for clarification on these kind of things. Please let me know. Says, I don't know what needs to be taught. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for much. Much has been accomplished here this morning. We got to see and hear how a group of young people that we don't even know, don't even come here, got to hear the truth from teachers from here to go out now, go back to their churches, go to their schools with the ammunition of truth. And Father, we pray for every one of them. Pray that your Spirit keep them alive for the Word of God, fulfilling your plan for their life. Even the two or three that weren't all that interested, I pray that your Spirit can use their disinterestedness to convict them to, you know what? I need to start taking this seriously. Have something happen in their life that will cause them to reflect on something they heard this week at Slam Camp. Father, we thank you for our assembly. We thank you for the time that we spend on studying your word. I thank you so much, Father, for a group of people who do not get bored, burdened down with the study of your word, but want to know what's in your word, all of it. And Father, I pray now that you'll take the things that we've saw this morning, settle in our souls that you're in control of history, the rise and fall of nations, what's happening with Israel, what's happening in America. You're in control. We don't have to be upset or worried. We have hope, confidence of the future. Father, pray all these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.